Let's open our Bibles again, please, this morning in the book of Exodus, chapter 15. 15th chapter of the book of Exodus. Let's read the Word of God together, please. Commencing to read at verse number 1, we'll read a few verses. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchedest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people, which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to handle thy word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray that thou wilt lead us and guide us as we meditate upon it. Bless every head that's bowed in thy presence and meet every need. And we'll be careful to give thee the praise and the honor and the glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. Last Lord's Day, as we were looking at this 15th chapter of the book of Exodus, we were noticing that the children of Israel had come through the Red Sea in victory. And that they have a song of victory. They're singing a song of victory. There's jubilation in their hearts. You notice it says that they then sang Moses and the children of Israel. They were singing together. And we looked at the people of the singing. And then secondly, we looked at the praises they were singing. Because you'll notice it says that I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. And in our meditation about the song of victory that they were singing and the praises that we were singing, we noticed that there was the sweet success that they were singing about, that the Lord is a man of war, that the Lord was the one who prevailed over the enemy that was against the people of God. And their song was totally about the Lord, what the Lord did. Truly it was saying, as the psalmist said, the Lord hath done for us great things. Whereof we are glad. And so our praise this morning ought to be of him. Our song ought to be of Christ. Because he is my strength. He is my song. And he has become my salvation. Then we notice not only the sweet success that we're singing about, but we notice the saint's strength, because you notice it was the right hand of God, thy excellency, the blast of thy nostrils. Thou didst blow with thy wind, thou didst swallow them up. It was all of the Lord, and certainly they found their strength in him. Then we notice they secured salvation, because he has become my salvation, the greatness of salvation, the grace of salvation, the grandeur of salvation, the guide of salvation, and then lastly, the gladness of salvation. But I said last Lord's Day that there was two sides to the song. First of all, there was the retrospective part of the song. In other words, they were looking back. But there was also the prospective nature of the song. They were looking forward, because after recalling what God had done, the great things that the Lord had done in the song, you'll notice they start looking ahead. Go to verse number 14. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold upon the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. And so you'll notice here, there is the prospective nature of the song. They're looking forward to what God is still going to do. You see, what they were saying was simply this: God has done this great thing for us, and we are rejoicing in what God has done for us, but because of what God has done for us, God is going to put fear upon the enemy, and when we're passing through the land, God is going to instill dread and fear upon these nations. They will be afraid. Edom, Esau, Moab, they shall be afraid. The fear of God shall be upon them. My friend, whenever we look back and see what God has done, surely God can make the enemy afraid. Surely God can put fear into the hand, or into the very heart of the enemy, because God not only has worked, but God is still working today. And we should be excited. We were in the prayer meeting on Thursday night, and we're thinking about how that God wants his people to inquire of him. How God wants his people to beg of him. And God says, listen, if you inquire of me, if you plead with me, God says, I will give you increase. And how that God will lengthen our cords, and how that God will strengthen our stakes. And I believe, friend, that there is the enemy confounded here because of what God has done. My, the enemy stood back when God brought the, whenever they thought of how God brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea, and the enemy was afraid. Others heard of what God had done for the children of Israel. They knew that they were God's people, and that God had intervened, that God had delivered them. They came against the Red Sea. They were surrounded by mountains. The enemy was behind them, and God made a way through the path of the sea, and God built and congealed the waters on each side, and let the children of Israel walk through, and then God closed in upon the enemy. What did that do, friend? It put fear in the heart of the enemy, because they knew that this was of God. Friend, I believe that we ought to have a prospective nature of our song, knowing God not only has worked, but God is going to work. I trust that you're expecting God still to work. You're expecting God still to move, because you'll notice here, there is the enemy confounded. But secondly, go to verse 17, there is the elect confirmed. Because it says, verse 17, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hand hath established. Praise God, the power of God has worked in the past, but the power of God is going to keep on working. God's going to finish the work. God not only started the work, but praise God, He's going to finish the work. As I was saying in Bible class this morning, He is the author of our faith, but praise God, He's the finisher of our faith. And God has still work to do in this our day and generation. We're still here in this world. We're in Macrofelt for a purpose, friend. God said, ye are the salt of the earth, and God will confirm His elect. God will confirm His people. And God not only brought the children of Israel out, but He brought them in. And God brought them out to bring them in. And God would plant them in the place of His inheritance. And God gave the children of Israel an inheritance. Now, God has brought us to this place. And God has put you and me in this place this morning. And I believe that God has promised us that even greater things He is able to do. God is able to do much more than this. We were looking on Thursday night how that God added to the church. And then the Word of God says, and the Word of God not only was added to, but it was multiplied. God multiplied. You and I should be looking forward to this. And verse number 18, you'll see the exalted crown, because it says, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. God's on the throne this morning. I know a lot of people are discouraged, and people look around today, and if you listen to them, everything is doom and everything is woe. Everything is lost. If you stood with them for 5 minutes, and if you went into their presence and you were discouraged to start with, friend, you'd give up completely inside 5 minutes, because everything's away. Everything's lost. God has just given us over, and God has given us up. I want to tell you this, my friend. God does not give His people up. God does not give His people over. God brings His people through. He brought them out to bring them in. And if we're willing to go with God, then God will bring you into the place of the inheritance. Yes, there was emancipation. And yes, there was jubilation. But our eyes are upon the Lord. Now, the men were singing and the women were singing. And it says that Miriam, she took the trembled up and she started to start and play it. And my, the women danced before the Lord and they were rejoicing. In other words, they were so full of the joy of the Lord. My, wouldn't it be great that every day is like this? Who wouldn't want every day to be a day like this? Standing, my friends, singing the song and marching, singing the song of victory. Friend, I come to a next thought. Because the next part of the chapter not only has jubilation in it, but it has realization in it. You know what they found out? That every day wasn't like that. There were testings, by the way. Now go with me quickly to verse number 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. You see, you and I have got to realize that there's still enemies to be confronted, friend, and there's still battles to be fought, and there's still victories to be won. Yes, Israel had been redeemed. But they have to learn a lesson to walk with God. And the walk is the walk of faith. You know, whenever you get up in the morning, the sun may be shining. But friend, let me tell you, the clouds can come during the day. And the Bible says that the rain falleth on the just as well as the unjust. And the trials that you and I have got to face, and the realities of life, realization of real living, friend, real walking with God. We've got to see that there's an experience here that has got to be confronted. Because for the next 2 years, the children of Israel would learn lessons from God. For the next 2 years. Yes, they've stood on the side, on the other side of the Red Sea, and they're singing their hearts out. And everything's so sweet, and everything is going lovely, and my, it's a song of victory. And it seems as if the sun is never going to set again. They're never going to face a problem again. Listen, about nearly 3 million people. That's what we're here. Nearly 3 million people are being led by God and led by his servant Moses. And verse 22 says, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Yes, they left it. They couldn't stay there. Because that wasn't the end of the journey. God was leading them, friend. Listen, they were starting, as it were, the journey. They were leaving Egypt behind them. Now they were taking an exciting new journey. And for the next 2 years, nearly 3 million people would learn lessons, be taught experiences that perhaps they've never known before. It wasn't long until they faced their first testing. Just 3 days. Just 3 days. Because after leaving the Red Sea, and they're marching forward in victory, and they're marching forward in singing, it says they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. Now you can imagine what that experience must have been for them. Nearly 3 million people. They have the supply of water with them, but their supply, it's drying up. They're singing, they're marching, they're joyful, but the water's running out. And there we see the serious problem. Now, Moses knows about the reality in the wilderness because 40 years he was in the palace, and then 40 years he spent on the backside of the desert feeding his father-in-law's flocks in the backside of the desert. He knew, as it says in the book of Deuteronomy, it was a waste, howling wilderness. He knew it was a great and terrible wilderness. This wasn't an easy experience. And sometimes in God's people's lives, friend, you and I will face these experiences that indeed, humanly speaking, they're great and terrible. I was speaking in Bible class this morning about the chastisement of the Lord in Hebrews chapter 12. You'll notice earlier on in the chapter, it speaks about the contradiction of sinners. And therefore, you and I can experience contradiction, or we can experience difficulties through the unconverted. We can even experience circumstances of difficulties and problems through the saints. But it's different, friend, when it comes to the chastisement of the Lord. And it's an experience that every child of God will have to be a partaker of, because every child who's in the family of God, the Bible says, whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. And so we find there's a difficult experience here. There's a big problem here. There's no water. 3 million people, listen, it's their worst nightmare. Facing a trial they have never experienced before. And I say they've never experienced before for this reason. Because remember, they were in Egypt. And friend, Egypt was a land of plenty. Egypt was not a land of nothing. The Nile would spread its water, it would burst its banks, and would water the earth and water the land of Egypt. And my, it was a land, humanly speaking, as far as the world was concerned, of bread and water of plenty. But they've left that behind. They've come through the Red Sea. They're now walking into the wilderness, but there's no water. And I'm sure they're searching for water, and they're wondering, where is the water? Surely God's not going to allow us to perish in this wilderness. Where's the water of God's supply? Now, I know that in your experience as a Christian, a child of God, the book of Isaiah said that every mountain shall be made low, and every crooked path will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And people have got an idea that that really means that every problem is just going to disappear. Every trial, every crooked part of the journey, listen, it's just going to straighten out. It's just going to be like them, God congealing the water and letting them walk through the Red Sea is just going to be as easy as that. But you and I know that from personal and practical experience as Christians, that as we walk to heaven, friend, God will give us experiences whenever the water runs dry. Now remember this, these children were not in the wilderness out of the will of God. These were people in the will of God, in the pathway of obedience, and yet it did not exempt them from trials or from troubles. But God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. There's a serious problem. Maybe that's what's in your life this morning. Maybe I don't know about your personal situation, friend, but God knows it and so do you. And you know that you've come to a serious problem in life. Maybe the water's running dry. Maybe you've been through a tremendous joyful experience, and maybe you thought that every day is going to be like this, and now it's different. But you know the Word of God says, my God shall supply all your need. And friend, I believe that that's true. God will supply your need, whatever it is. But that does not mean that you don't have face the days like these children of Israel. 3 days they went into the wilderness and they found no water. In other words, they were searching for it. They were searching for it and yet they couldn't find it. They found no water. Serious problem. Secondly, notice a sour portion. Go to verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters. Yes, they found water. They found water. Can you imagine what that must have been? Somebody shouts out and says, water! Water! You can imagine what that went through, how it went through the crowd. Just the word water. Because they've been looking for it, they've been searching for it. And you can think of the joy that was in their hearts. They're parched, they're dry. Somebody says, water! And friend, just in a moment, just like that, their sadness turns into joy, and their spirits begin to soar, and they're excited, and they're expecting fresh water in the wilderness. And some of them run up, and they just throw themselves to the side of the water, and they start to drink it, and suddenly... it's bitter. It's bitter water. Not for drinking. And once again, remember this. They're in the center of God's will. But the water's better. And they called it Marah. And I can hear the cry go up. Water. Better. Why? What's happening, friend? Why? And maybe you thought you were getting through the difficulty. Maybe you thought you were coming out the other side, friend. And you found the water. But you're facing a bitter experience. You're disappointed. Maybe you're asking, why? Why? There are those today that are not willing to accept what God wills and God's purpose for their lives. Do you remember Naomi? Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, and also their 2 sons. And then they had 2 daughters. One, the daughter-in-laws. And one was called Orpha and the other was called Ruth. Orpha went back to her family, but Ruth, she went on with Naomi. But because the death came into the family, friend, and sorrow came in, and an experience that they didn't enjoy came into their lives, and when the people said, here is Naomi, she says, no, don't call me Naomi. My name's no longer Naomi. Call me. What is it? Marah. It's the same word here. Why did you say, call me Marah? Because through her experience, her heart turned bitter. She was bitter. She had a bitter spirit. She was bitter against God.
She was bitter against God's people. She said to them, "Don't you dare, don't you call me Naomi anymore. You call me Mara." She faced a bitter experience. And what happened, friend, in her life was simply this. That the bitter experience that she faced in her life turned her bitter. And she says, "My name's no longer Naomi. I'm no longer the pleasant one. I'm bitter." God intervened. I'm glad here, this passage of God's word, friend, that they didn't stay at Mara, but they moved on. Can I ask you a question this morning? Is there something happening in your life today, friend, that has turned the joy into bitterness? Taking away the laughter, taking away the song. Maybe an experience. Maybe something in the family situation. Maybe something in the home, friend. Maybe something in your personal life. Maybe something in your financial life. Maybe something in your working life. Maybe something amongst your friends. And you've come to the water, friend, and you expected so much, but whenever you got to the water, yes, there was a time there was no water, but when you got to the water, it was bitter. And you've gone through a bitter experience. And the reality of the situation is this. You say, "But God, it can't be right, because you see, I'm walking in the center of your will. I wanted to do what you wanted me to do. I wanted to be what you wanted me to be. But oh God, instead of getting sweet water, it's bitter. I was thirsty, I was parched, it was dry. But when I got the water, I couldn't drink it. It was bitter." Friend, it has made you bitter. And it's bitter at your heart. You see, I believe in every one of our lives that we will have a Mara experience. We'll come to a well someday, and the well that we stoop down to drink will be bitter. But how are you dealing with your Mara? How are you accepting what God has permitted in your life? Or friend, not only what God has permitted in your life, listen, even what God has sent into your life, because let me tell you, the chastisement of God is sent into our lives that we might be partakers of His holiness. Hebrews chapter 12. You see, God, in the experience which He allows His child to go through, God seeks to educate us. God seeks to mature us. That we might go on with God. But the sad thing is here, that they became bitter. Turn to verse number 24. Here we see the severe pining. Verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses. In other words, they grumbled, they complained against Moses. Now, I have no doubt whatsoever, friend. They felt sorry for themselves. Their predicament was real. It wasn't, listen, this was not an experience that wasn't real. Here's the reality of a real experience in their lives, and they had a disgruntled spirit, and it was too common for them. They got their eyes of the Lord, they got their eyes upon Moses, and the people murmured against Moses. They didn't see the hand of God in this. They didn't see God's working. They didn't see God's maturing. They didn't see God's leading. All they could see was Moses. And so they blamed Moses for it. This wasn't Moses, friend. This was God. This was God. I believe it broke Moses' heart that day. Because it says, verse 25, "And Moses cried unto the Lord." It broke his heart.
Because you see, instead of turning to the Lord, they turned on the Lord's servant. Instead of saying, "Oh God, please help us in the midst of our need, friend." Instead of committing their way onto the Lord, instead of trusting also in Him, and He would bring it to pass, instead of casting their care upon Him, they turned upon God's servant. And then in the extremity, God met the need, because notice the sweetened pool, verse 25. And they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. He said, and the Lord showed him a tree. And so the Lord revealed something unto him. And God showed them the tree was there all the time. The answer to the bitter water was already there. But he didn't see it. But God showed him it. Friend, the answer to your need was already here. God is your refuge and strength, the very present help in time of trouble. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth you. Get your eyes upon the Lord. And the tree was there all the time. It was near at hand. And the one you need today is near at hand, because He's a very present help in time of trouble. But something had to happen for him. Moses had to believe God, and by the hand of faith he had got to take the tree, and he had to, the Bible says, and they had to cast it into the waters. And the waters were made sweet. You've got to believe God today. You've got to take God at His word. Listen, God is the God of miracles. God is the answer to your need today. But you've got to reach out the hand of faith. And by faith, apply the promises that God has given. And take up your cross. And follow Him. My friend, you'll have to carry the cross. But take it up and follow Him. Let Him meet your need. And here's the last thought, the sufficient provision. Go down to verse 27. And they came to Elim, where 12 wells of waters and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the water. Notice they didn't encamp by the waters of Marah. They encamped at Elim. Let me ask you a question. Be honest before God, friend. You're going through trial of experience. You face the days with no water. You face the day, friend, maybe with bitter water. And here's a simple question. Have you encamped yourself at Marah? Is that where you've camped yourself? The waters of Marah become bitter with life's experiences? Are you willing to go on with God? That's exactly what they did. God sweetened the waters, and then they went on. They went on. They pressed on. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You say, preacher, but the waters of Marah, they're bitter. You say the experiences I've been through are difficult. But praise God, let me tell you, friend, there was the oasis of Elim that was waiting for them. There was the place of the 12 wells of water and the 70 palm trees of refreshment and of abundant blessing. But they had to leave Marah and press on. And they encamped there. But they didn't steady them. Because after a period of refreshment and after a period of blessing, they moved on. Because they've got to go on with God. So have you and I, friend. Now there's two things you can do. Because of the trouble in your life, because of the situation in your life, friend, you can go on with God and take up the cross and follow Him. Or you can grow weary and faint in your mind. I beg you in God's name, go with God. Go with Him. There's blessings still in store. There's lands to be conquered. There's battles to be fought. Yes, but praise God, there's victories to be won. For God is still on the throne. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we bow before Thee. Lord, I thank Thee for the battles fought and for the victories won. Lord, I thank Thee that Thou art still on the throne this morning. We thank Thee that Thy ear is open unto our cry, that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. They are running to and fro in the whole earth. Lord, I pray that You'll bless Your people today. Encourage them to press on with Thee. And for those that are backslidden, Lord, I beg in Jesus' name that Thou wilt bring them back to their first love and give them the joy again. Even in battling, even, Lord, through the struggles of life and the testings, yes, Lord, even in the days of the chastisement, we bless Thee that with Thee there's the afterwards. There's the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Oh, God, my God, help us to look to Thee for those that are not saved. Please save them, or they'll be lost for all eternity. In Jesus' name.